What's up, Funk Bandits? Welcome back to the Weekly Scraps, powered by Everlast. They are my new sponsorship company. They are taking care of all your fight needs, all your equipment. Go to Everlast.com, check those guys out, and support one of the leading brands in combat sports history, Everlast.com. We are also sponsored by Hydrocana. Drink Hydrocana. When it comes to rehydration, these are the company that you need to turn to. Infused with CBD and scientifically proven ratios for rehydration, any half athlete, as well as hangovers. If you like to party and you're feeling like crap the next day, take a Hydrocana shot and it will get you right back to your feet in a matter of minutes. Now, these are the new boys on the block, but I'm telling you, don't get left behind and not figure out what all the hype is all about. Drink Hydrocana, check these guys out, and you will not be disappointed. High performance nutrition. No more getting popped for these tainted supplements. Get yourself something good. Something good, something third-party tested that you can trust what you're putting in your body. High Performance Nutrition, aka HPN. I am an HPN elite athlete, and I primarily use the protein. I use the pre-workout, True Energy, and I use the BCAAs, True BCAAs. So I'm telling you guys, this has changed my life. It makes it so much easier when my body's feeling beat up or I need a little extra jump. I turn to HPN and I get my fix and I know exactly what I'm putting in my body and I'm good and geared up and don't have to worry about USADA coming to my doors and saying you failed. Next, we have Trendy Butler. They are a clothing subscription service for your liking. Now, if you like a certain look, easy. All you gotta do is answer a few simple questions and Trendy Butler AI service will take care of it for you. They color coordinate everything. They make sure everything is something that you're going to be into. And maybe if you want to try something new, you never know. But these are my guys. Check out trendybutler.com and get yourself a new box every single month for only $65 a month. Every single month, new box at your door. And last but not least, Manscaped. Now, fellas, you know, sometimes you're going to go get your lady in the mood and, you know, you're trying to get a little something, but you look down there and you're like, oh my God, it's a jungle gym and she cannot find her way through the bushes. Don't have those problems. Manscaped, take care of all that. Get yourself a nice clipper, some nice grooming supplies, and get yourself something that's going to keep you fresh for your lady or your guy, whatever you're into.
Hey, how's it going? How you been? What's scrapping?
What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Weekly Scraps, episode 25. And we are coming to you live all the way from beautiful Chicago. Yes, it is fight week and it is my time. It's my time to shine, my time to go out there and have some fun and do what I do best and unleash some funk. Thank you guys for tuning in. Just to let you guys know, a quick little brief message. I got my new vlog series I'm doing all over again. I'm editing it on my own. It can be a little stressful to do it all, you know, recording yourself, self-recording and doing the editing and then trying to get it up in time. I got the first episode up this morning. I hope you guys were able to check that out. It's only about 3 minutes and 58 seconds long, so I'm trying to keep them relatively short. Just give you guys a quick behind the scenes look of what we're doing this fight week with the Sarah Longo crew. Matt Sauer and Ray Longo will be getting in tomorrow night, actually. So stay tuned for some additional Sarah Longo fun and jokes, of course. Recap, the weekend rewind. This is not going to be a long podcast, cutting weight, dieting, and all that good stuff. So I'm just going to pretty much get to the chase with everything and just give a brief recap and all the stuff. But for this episode of the Weekend Rewind, I definitely want to give a shout out to my guys. We went 3-1 on the night, four guys fight. The one guy on our team who actually took a loss, he was He's up at a weight class that he should not be competing in. Yeah, he's not that small for it, but he's definitely not the proper size for it. And he took the fight on short notice. I think it was like 2.5 weeks notice. And I mean, he did hurt the guy with a nice straight left. But ultimately, the other guy was able to get the finish. BJJ black belt, really tough dude. But our other three guys, Damian Nelson ended up getting a, I think it was a second round knockout. He looked phenomenal. The guy was coming, bringing the pace, pushing him against the cage, landing knees to the body, but Damian was doing the right thing and answering back and not letting the guy get free strikes off. I told Damian, I said, fake, and I hit him with the 1-2. He listened perfectly, and he had the right opening, lined him up with the jab, and two right down the middle and sat him down. I'm not the best when it comes to opening up with my strike and like sitting down on my punches. I don't really tend to do that. But I know Damian, and I know he possesses some serious power. And I knew if he connected, that was lights out. And maybe I'm going to try to do the same thing this weekend. We never know. Stay tuned for that, June 8th. But other than that, he improves to, I think, 2-0 now. Our other guys, Pumi Nakuta, ended up getting a first-round finish. And I was posting about it on my IG saying to remember the name. And rightfully so. He is a tough, tough dude. A nightmare for anybody to deal with, especially in the gym. We see it day in and day out all the time. I'm like, this kid is going to be something special. And I'm not just saying that just because we're friends and just because we're teammates. I train with the guy, and it's I think I have a good eye for talent, and he rises to occasion on fight night. It's not like he's one of those guys who's a gym beast, and then when he gets out there in the cage, he kind of folds. So I'm super high on him right now, and his potential, I don't want to say ceiling, because ceiling means you could hit a wall at some point. I think the sky's the limit for that guy. And I remember comparing him like 2-3 years ago. I was like, yo, you're a little Mighty Mouse. I mean, obviously not as polished yet back then, but he's come a long way. And I think maybe one more amateur fight, I think he's definitely ready for the jump. And it's just his fight IQ and the way he's able to express himself out there. It's second to none for such a young guy, only at 23 years young. He won a belt. I believe he's 4-0 now. I'm not sure. I got to check his record, but he's had a couple kickboxing fights. I think he lost one kickboxing fight, maybe 3-1 in that, and 4-0 as an MMA amateur. This was his debut at 125. First time making the weight cut. So I see a lot of good stuff for him in his future on the horizon. Maybe possibly going out for 1FC, Rizin, or one of those type of organizations, since the UFC seems to be getting rid of that organization for the UFC seems to be getting rid of the 125 pound division, sorry. Now, our brother Kelvin Sterling, my brother, like I said, we had the same father, different moms, but he's about 4 months older than I am. He looked great, man. Made some good strides in his overall MMA game, and I was super proud about that. The one thing I will say, I thought he could have opened up more with the ground and pound, but it's more of a comfortability thing. He felt safe in the guard, and he wasn't really sure if he wanted to take the chance of passing and getting put himself in losing the position. And that comes with experience, knowing like the same thing that you do in a room is going to be the same exact thing that you do in a fight. So if you're not losing position in the room, you got to trust your instincts, go for it, and know that you're not going to lose that position in a fight. As long as you're wary of where the guy's legs are, where his underhooks are, and control the situation. But he landed a lot of ground and pound, almost enough to get the finish. But I was screaming at him just to go a little bit harder in the paint to try to get him to get that guy out of there. That guy was a tough boxer. He had some, he was big. My brother's not a 45er. He was fighting at 145. I think he's now 5-2 or something like that. I know he lost the first one, lost the last one. I think he's 5-2 now. Maybe 4-2. I'm really not sure. But, super proud brother moment. I was actually really, really, happy about that performance. And I think he's really come a long way. And he actually just got promoted to blue belt by Dave Patton, who's a black belt under Matt Serra, and Pete Drago Cell, who's also a black belt under Matt Serra. You guys probably remember him from The Ultimate Fighter. Good stuff all around, man. The team's doing well. And we have a newcomer to our gym, Nas. I can't really pronounce his name. I forget where in Russia he's from. I think it's Kazakhstan, or I don't want to butcher it, Ubistan. Let me not even attempt to say the wrong country and then get some heat from the guys. That how you don't know that? But he knocked the guy out in, I think, 54 seconds at Ring of Combat. really, really phenomenal striking. I told him this a while ago. I even told Reyes, like, the guy's timing is money, especially him being a southpaw. It poses a lot of different looks and a lot of threats that people aren't used to seeing. The hand speed, the composure on the feet. The one thing he's working on right now is definitely his grappling. And whenever we go, that's the first thing I look for. I'm like, I'll touch on the feet. He's a bigger guy than me. I think he's probably 5'11 or 5'10. He's got a tall frame, and he's got that spinning back kick down on the southpaw stance, down packed. And it's beautiful to watch when he's going with other guys. When I'm in there, I'm like, all right, where's your opening? All right, clinch, grab the leg, take him down, hold him down for the rest of the round as much as you can. Or at least try to get him tired and then circle and try to get back in a clinch to try to slow him down, because he's a big boy. And like I said, he's got some really, really good striking. And he also gave me some solid looks before his fight and before my fight as well. Big Black, Edwin Smart, Matt Serra's brother-in-law, actually just got a split decision win at Ring of Combat also. And we had another, he gritted that one out. Tough fight. That dude he fought was a WWE guy. Not a WWE guy, but a professional wrestler, one of those type of guys. I don't think he actually was in the WWE. And I think he actually had some type of wrestling background, but Ed was able to get the split decision nod and come out with his hand raised. And we had one more guy fight, Charlie Campbell. He won. So we went 3-0 on that weekend on Friday night at Ring of Combat. That was Charlie Campbell's pro debut. And then on Saturday, we went 3-1 with our amateur guys. And here we are, fast forward a couple days later, and we are on a Wednesday here for fight week and getting ready to throw down with another tough dude in Pedro Munoz. I saw him today a couple times. I don't think he likes me very much. Whatever. Other than that, a quick recap. I mean, I don't really want to go into a crazy recap, but I will say touch on a couple notable things for the weekend rewind. Just going down the list, Devin Clark bounced back into the win column with a unanimous decision win over Darko Stojic. I can't really say that guy's name. Frank Camacho looked like a much more composed fighter, did his thing and shutting out and stopping Nick Hine via TKO at the end of the second round, 4 minutes and 56 seconds into the round. And he looked better than ever, man. He looked sharp. He was taking his time. He wasn't just going straight Guam style like he was saying in his interview. He gets hit and he just wants to bang. You know, he took his time, picked his shots, and beat the body up of Nick Hine and slowed him down. And eventually that was the beginning of the end. Leonardo Santos beat Stevie Ray via KO. One punch, 2 minutes and 17 seconds in the first round. Slip and rip. Oh my God. Ran out of the goddamn octagon all the way pretty much to where we walk out from. I'm like, this guy is on cloud nine. He was gone out of the game for a while with a lot of injuries. And I'm hoping that this guy can stay active. He was also, the last guy, but he also stopped Kevin Lee when Kevin Lee was a surging prospect who is now a big contender in the UFC division. Yeah, man, he's got some serious power and looks like he's a serious threat if he can stay healthy and stay active in that lightweight division with the other Sharks. So it's going to be very interesting to see how that guy does. Leon Landsberg comes back, Swedish fighter, beats Tanya Evinger, bantamweight division, in unanimous decision. And who else do we got? Daniel Tamar finally gets that ever so elusive UFC win. And it's not like he was getting crushed, but he was always getting the short end of the stick in his UFC fights. Now he is 1-3 in his stint with the company. Hopefully they re-sign him because he is action-packed and he's a fun fighter to watch, man. He beat the newcomer Song Bin Jo, who was a big favorite, I think, coming into that one, who was 9-0, now 9-1. Makwan Amerikani defeats Chris Fishgold, submission and a counter choke, 4 minutes and 25 seconds into the second round. I was actually really surprised by this, just because of the way the first round took place and the pace of it that Fishgold was setting. I was starting to think that Fishgold might get the upset here, and he did good pressuring and trying to create scrambles and making things chaotic and tough for Makwan Amerikani. But Amerikani took his time. He found his opening, and when he was able to get the takedowns, he got the takedowns. As well as Fish Gold was looking for submissions himself. He wasn't just laying there like a fish, pun intended. But he got the submission. That Darce choke, beautiful. I said Darce choke. Anaconda choke, beautiful. When he jumped over to it and locked the arms up, and they're circling, and he just keeps chasing the hips, And with those chokes, you don't have to sell out with your arms and squeeze. If you have it here, so the head, I'm under the head, and then the arm is this way, and I'm locking over the arm, and my hands are climbing up that back. It's climbing up the spine. Now, I'm going to take my elbow. I'm going to slice across the neck as I walk my fingers to the head, and I keep walking my feet to try to hook a leg. If I can't hook the leg, that's okay. As long as I keep that constant pressure on without squeezing and selling out, my arms until they're fried, I can eventually put you to sleep because it is a blood choke. It's not a trachea choke. It's not one of those things that hurt and you find the pressure point. It's a blood choke. Eventually, that the blood and the oxygen stops getting to the brain. You can put guys out in a matter of seconds. It's just a slow, constricting choke, and you got to take your time. And beautiful technique, man. I really want to see more display of his boxing that he was talking about. But with the MMA gloves, it's just a different sport. It really is. And he was able to get the nod and get the finish after a year-long layoff. Alexander Rakic over Jimmy Manuelman. Head kick. Oh, my God. Lead uppercut. Hands high. Lead uppercut. He fakes the jab. And then he comes up with the head kick right behind it. Oh, man. I did not expect that. And you know when you fight Jimmy Manuel, when he's stepping into the octagon, you know he's either going to finish the guy or of late he's been getting finished. And I think that was his fourth loss in a row, maybe his second or third finish, KO, TKO loss. And after this one, he's an older guy now. He got into the game at like 28. So for him, he decided it was time to hang it up, and it looks like we have ourselves a new contender in this division. Super talented, super athletic. I did not know who the fuck this kid was 47 seconds into the first round. I now know who you are, Alexander Rakic. You are one to keep your eye on and a big prospect indeed. I think he's on a 3, maybe 4 fight win streak in the light heavyweight division. Light heavyweight division has never looked better in my opinion. And hopefully we can get a little bit more life in the heavyweight division and things can really start to feel more equal throughout the divisions, as in the talent pool, not just the top 5 of the guys are the most talented guys. When there's more depth, there's more competition. It just keeps everything so much more exciting, more competition. And when guys beat people, it actually means more. It holds more weight. And my argument with that has always been the talented guys in the States have always played football, basketball, soccer. They go to the MLB. You know, they do those type of sports where they're getting paid the real, real, real big bucks. And for them to come to the UFC or try their hand in MMA when they have a lot more of an earning potential doesn't make a ton of sense. But the guys who end up not hacking it in terms of they get cut from like early goings in their career and they start coming out like the NFL guys, like a Greg Hardy, that type of deal. Or I'm not saying that's why he left the NFL, but people who are having trouble in other spaces and they come over to us. If we had more of those athletes, those divisions would be stacked, insane, stacked with talent and athletic dudes all across the board, all throughout the division. But those other sports are taking those guys away from us. Us smaller guys, there's too many of us. So guess what? We're going to be bringing the best talented guys that you could possibly see, and we're some of the best guys in the world from 25 all the way up to 170, I'm going to say. Our main event, Anthony Smith beats Alexander Gustafsson by submission, rear naked choke in the fourth round. And boy, Gustafsson was controlling the fight. It wasn't like he was dominating, but he was controlling the fight, winning on points, doing what he had to do. There was a point where he hurt Anthony Smith and put him down with a takedown. I thought if he dropped him and he, instead of going for the takedown, he followed up with his hands like he did against Glover Teixeira, I think he could have probably gotten him out of there. But Anthony Smith always seems to find a way to stay in the fight and find an opening that I always talked about in the last few podcasts about him, his last few fights. And he manages to come back and finish guys and put them away. And that's exactly what he did here. He got the takedown. I forget exactly how he got it, but he got the takedown on his back. He was able to put the hooks in, flatten out Gustafsson, similar to John Jones-esque. And he was able to to land some shots and eventually sink in a choke and put Alexander Gustafsson away. Now, Alexander also a training partner of Jimmy Manuel, man, and they also fought and then became training partners. But they were training partners for, I want to say, the last 2 years possibly, maybe a little longer. And he just called the quits as well. He's decided he wants to hang up the gloves. And I guess he mentioned something along the lines of his passion and his heart's just not into it as much as it used to be. And he's been around the world and he's been in the UFC for over a decade at this point. And he may not have as many fights as a lot of guys, because I'm already 12 fights in and I'm only 5 years into my relationship with the company. And for me to be this many fights in, I just hit this the half point mark of a decade. It's kind of fascinating to see how long he's been in there. And he's been able to have so much success at the top of the division for so long. He has a lot of memorable fights, the Glover Teixeira fight, the John Jones one fight, Jimmy Manuel knockout. A couple of good ones, man. He was a real special talent to watch, and we're definitely going to miss those guys, Alexander Gustafsson and Jimmy Manuel, man. I don't know if there was anybody else who retired on that card, but yeah, that was a fun week for sure. Our upcoming events this weekend, UFC 238, Chicago, Illinois. Marlon Moraes is actually Henry Cejudo is taking on Marlon Moraes. Co-main event, Valentina Shevchenko is taking on Jessica Eye. And of course, yours truly, the Funk Master, is fighting as well on the prelims. Stay tuned to that. This is a stacked card. You got Ricardo Lamas, you got Calvin Kattar, you got Tatiana Suarez, you got Nina Asaroff, you got myself versus Pedro Munhoz. It doesn't get any fucking better than this, people. And funny thing, I said Funk Master, and one thing I forgot to say, my brother walked out with his nickname for his last fight last weekend, the Funk Monster, and Longo's in the back, we're about to walk out, and he hears the announcement, and he just starts laughing while we're in the corner. It was hysterical. He's like, the Funk Monster, Sterling, and Longo's like, ha, 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 ha. Good stuff, man, good stuff. Next week, we have UFC on ESPN plus 12, Greenville, South Carolina, and June 29th, UFC on ESPN 3 in Minnesota, Lawler versus Woodley. But I thought they were trying to get a replacement for Woodley. I thought he had gotten hurt. So then that might actually be a hiccup. Might have to check that out. Quick, what's scrapping in news? Nate Diaz came out of the woodworks and finally got back on the Ariel Helwani show. That was a great segment to listen to. And he said he's the king of the lightweight and welterweight division. He said he slapped Khabib. He's proposing a four-man tournament with Khabib, GSP, Conor, and Diaz. I would actually love to see that. That's what Ariel Helwani was proposing. You know, it was great to hear from him. It seems like he's in great spirits. And hopefully the fight with Pettis does materialize and it doesn't get destroyed some way, somehow, and that's going to be a bomb burner of a fight. Other news, Khabib is taking on Dustin the Diamond Poirier September 7th in Abu Dhabi. Diaz said he's not interested in a trilogy fight with McGregor. Walker is medically cleared after his shoulder injury when he won his fight and he started flopping around and hurt his shoulder. Really crazy turn of events. King Mo retired from MMA as well. And what else do we have? Oh, Manuel Man, Nick Hine, and Gustafsson all retired on UFC Stockholm. I knew it was somebody else. I just could not remember who it was. And Variety article on Endeavor IPO, parent company of the UFC, residing in their sports and entertainment division, which also includes pro bull riding, but revenue $2.3 billion in 2018 and $674.1 million in quarter one of 2019. Oh, shit. Those are some dollars I would like to see. James Vick is taking on Dan Hooker on ESPN 4 in San Antonio. Who else we got? Paige VanZant is going for a third surgery on her arm again, on her right arm. Probably another 3 months out. And veteran Anthony Johnson is going to meet Craig Jones at Submission Underground 9. I would love to see this. This is going to be a good fight because Anthony Johnson used to fight at light heavyweight, but he is clearly a heavyweight right now, and Craig Jones is a submission savage. A lot of his wins in the UFC have come by submission, and usually it seems like he gets it at the very end when it looks like the fight's about to be over. The other guy's kicking his ass and they're about to win. But he comes through like a savage, like a true BJJ beast, and the Bear Jew always seems to manage to pull out a victory out of thin air. That's all we have for our What's Scrapping the News. Now, let's go to our main scraps. Let's just take a look at UFC Fight Week for UFC 238, Chicago, Illinois. Caitlin Chookagian is taking on Joanne Calderwood on the prelims, the very first fight of the night, which is pretty crazy. Angela Hill is fighting Sionan Yan. Bevon Lewis is taking on Darren Stewart. Darren Stewart is my Jamaican brother. I look forward to that fight because Bevon Lewis is a tough dude, and that's going to be a good fight for the dentist. I think that's his name, the nickname, the dentist. Prelim card on the ESPN. Ricardo Lam is taking on a very tough Calvin Kattar. That's a fun fight, man. Tough wrestler, D3 wrestler, Ricardo Lam. Calvin Kattar, slick boxing. No, he fought Renato Moicano. Moicano lit him up with the leg kicks and slowed him down. But when it comes to the boxing department, I think he definitely has a striking over Ricardo Lamas. Ricardo is going to have to do his best with using ground and pound by using his wrestling to get in close, take him down, and slow the fight down to his pace, and maybe even chop his legs down from the outside, just like Ricardo Moicano was able to do. That's the blueprint I would follow if I was Ricardo Lamas, taking on the very tough prospect in Calvin Kattar. Carolina Kowicz is taking on Alexa Grasso. That's a fun fight. Carolina lost her last one to Jessica Andrade, but she's looking to bounce back against a tough Alexa Grasso. We're going to see who comes out victorious in this one. Myself, I am taking on Pedro Munhoz. We'll get to that in a second. Tatiana Suarez, the female Khabib, is taking on Nina Ansaroff. Tough fight. I think Nina is super well-rounded, but Tatiana is a problem. The thing about Nina, she's not a small strawweight, right? She's got a good frame, good size. She's tall. Tatiana is tall, and I think that's what Tatiana had over a lot of the girls. So this is going to be a very interesting matchup, but I think obviously we know where the wrestling advantage is going to go. Let's just see if Nina has any tricks to keep the fight standing or to get back to her feet, or if she has any tricks off of her back against Tatiana Soares. I predict the winner of that fight will be getting the next title shot at the UFC women's strawweight division against Jessica Andrade. Heavyweight division on the main scraps, we have Tai Tuivasa, ranked 11. He's a -150 favorite, taking on Blagoy Ivanov, who is a +120 underdog, who's ranked 13th in the world. Blagoy is coming off a win over Ben Rothwell, unanimous decision. Tai Tuivasa is coming off a loss to Junior Dos Santos via mounted punches, TKO. That was the craziest thing I think I've ever seen, where a guy's taken down, he's in full mount. Instead of him shrimping out, hip escaping, blocking the knee, trying to scrape the ankle with the opposite foot, foot to ankle, push knee and hip in and shrimp out, get to an underhook or get back to a full guard situation, he decided to throw punches off of his back. It did not end up well for him. His record is 10-1. I'm not understanding how he's 10-1. Oh, that was a kickboxing bout. 10-1. And his only loss comes to Junior Dos Santos. He's 26 years old, Australian born, the master of the shoeies. He pours beer in the shoes and people spit in the shoe. Then he takes it, he pounds it. Absolutely disgusting, but hey, whatever floats your boat. Bam Bam's the man, cool ass dude. And he would probably beat my ass. He's a big motherfucker. Fun dude to be around though, super chill guy. Tuivasa is also married to Tyson Pedro's sister. I didn't know that. And they host a podcast together. I had no idea. That's actually pretty cool. Pretty fucking cool. Ivanov is 32 years old, Bulgarian, entered the UFC as a former PFL WSO champ and lost in his debut to Junior Dos Santos. So they have a common opponent. That was his debut. He lost to Junior Dos Santos via decision. But Tuivasa lost via second round stoppage. Let's see if if Tuivasa can bounce back. Or will Blagoy go on a two-fight winning streak and continue his trek back up the division? Next fight, We have Jimmy Rivera plus 250 underdog, 22-3 record, ranked 7th in the bantamweight division, taking on Petr Yan, who's a minus 325 favorite, ranked number 9 in the bantamweight division. Let's start with Petr Yan. He is coming off of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 fights winning streak. 7 fight winning streak right now. Last fight over John Dodson, beat him. He stopped Douglas Andrade via second round corner stoppage. He also beat Jim Susan, and that was a decision. He beat Taruto Ishihara via punches in round one. And before that, he was fighting for ACB. But right now, this is a pretty tough fight, I think. He's only 26 years old. I seen him a couple times in a hotel. He just smiles. I really don't know what the fuck he's thinking. It kind of looked like he was referencing the chain that I had on for media day today, but I could not really tell. It's actually pretty funny. I just smiled, and I was just like, yeah, whatever. I don't know. I don't know what's going through his head. I don't know if he's sizing me up or whatever, but we weren't like right next to each other. He was on the other side of the room. But when I came in, checked in, we shook hands, and I said, what's up? And I just don't know if he actually speaks like fluent English or whatnot, but, you know, whatever. Good luck to both these men. Petr Yan is 5'7 with a 67-inch reach. Jimmy Rivera is 5'4 with a 68.5-inch reach. Tara is fighting out of Tiger Showrooms. He's 29 years old. He's the same age as myself. He's a big underdog in this. It's going to be very interesting to see how he bounces back from the loss with myself. And he beat, you know, so he lost to Marlon, got knocked out after he was on like a 20 fight win streak. Lost to Marlon, bounced back with the win over Dodson, who Petr Yan just also beat. And they both won by decision. And he lost to me after that. But I think Jimmy's still a tough dude for anybody. I think our styles were just completely different, and it played into my advantage, which allowed me to do better in that fight, better than Rivera actually gives me credit for. He was saying that he was off in the fight. I'm just going to say, you weren't off. You were just fighting me, and I was just on doing my fucking thing. I really think I have an unorthodox style that people kind of underestimate, and it showed on the night. But I do think he has all the goods, and this is a tailor-made fight for both of these guys, where it's going to be a stand-up affair, where Jimmy has the advantage probably in the wrestling department, but we're going to find out. I haven't seen much of Petr Yan's wrestling, and I think Dodson might have taken him down. He got back up, so it's going to be an interesting fight to see who could impose their will and their game plan. Jimmy Rivera is a plus 250 underdog as per the odds via Bovada, and Petr Yan is a minus 325 favorite. That is big odds. Next up, we have Tony Ferguson, who is ranked 12th in the division after being an interim champ. What the fuck? He is a minus 55 favorite, 24-3 record, fighting Donald Cowboy Cerrone, who's now ranked 4th in the division, who is a plus 125 underdog. His record is 36-11. Cerrone's coming off a huge win over Ally Quinta. He did his thing after some close first opening rounds. He started to pull away from the fight in the third with the front kicks that he landed, and it continued on. Al stayed in there and battled him all the way to the end bell. His last fight before that, he beat Alexander the Great Hernandez. He beat him. I think that was his nickname, right? Alexander the Great. But he beat him via head kick and then followed up with punches in the second round. Tough, tough fight. And he also beat Mike Perry via armbar and finished him in round one with about 15 seconds left on the clock. Those were all at, well, not all of them. Mike Perry fight was at 170. And before that, he had a short stint at 170. He fought Masvidal, lost. He fought Robbie Lawler, lost. He fought Darren Till, he lost. Then he beat Yancy Medeiros. Then he lost to Leon Edwards, came back down. Well, stayed one more time. Fought Mike Perry, beat him, came back down, and is now on three-fight win streak and two-fight win streak at the lightweight division. He's a long staple of the BMF ranch with his boys. He stands at 6'1", 73-inch reach. And according to UFC stats, he's amongst all-time lightweights. Cerrone ranks second in knockdowns with 11 and second in significant strikes landed with 1,042. Now, Tony Ferguson is a different animal. He's looking to slice and dice you up with those elbows. That guy's cardio for days, but Donald Cerrone does not get tired either. So this makes it a super fun fight for the fans, and I really do think the fans are in for a treat with this one. Fight of the night candidate, 100%. Both guys are hittable. both guys come to fight and scrap. Both guys are looking to stand in the middle, trade and bang, and they both have really good submissions, and they both have cardio for days. What more can you fucking ask for? The difference here, I think Tony Ferguson utilizes some different techniques with elbows, unorthodox grappling. He's a 10th planet black belt, and Cowboy's a black belt himself, but I think the styles of jiu-jitsu are a little bit different, where Cerrone's more armbar slash guillotine slash triangle chokes, where Ferguson, I think he could do it all. Darce chokes, anaconda chokes, triangles, all the goods. He's on a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 fight win streak, actually longer than that. This is just all I'm seeing right now. I think he's on like a 12 fight win streak right now, maybe even 11, something like that. But he's 35 years old. Cerrone's 36. Enters this fight never having lost his UFC title, so he's technically still the interim champ. He got injured and his UFC stripped him. It's fucking weird. But if he wins this, I gotta say whoever wins this has to get the next title shot at 155 over after Dustin Poirier gets his crack at Khabib in September. He ranks second worldwide on Tapology and 12th in the UFC lightweight division, which makes no sense. He tore his ACL and came back in 6 months. I wasn't sure if it was the ACL or LCL, but I think it was the ACL. But he came back in 6 months to fight Anthony Pettis. And was that not an insane fight? Fight of the year candidate, if not fight of the year. Pettis broke his hand. That caused the fight to end short. But he got taken down, sliced Pettis up from the bottom with some elbows. And that's the thing. He's nonstop action. And he's always looking to push the pace and keep guys on their toes. And Pettis dropped him, I think, twice in that fight. And it goes to show you the resiliency of a tough Tony Ferguson. But Cowboy's the same way. But we've seen him get clipped before. We've seen him get dropped before and not recover as well or as quickly as we've seen Ferguson able to do in the past. So this is a super intriguing fight. Ferguson's last few wins, Anthony Pettis, Kevin Lee finished, RDA decision, Lando Venata decision, and Edson Barbosa decision via submission. So fun fight. And again, minus 155 favorite in Tony Ferguson and a plus 125 underdog in Donald Cowboy Cerrone. Valentina Shevchenko, she is a minus 1,200 favorite. She's 16-3, taking on Jessica Eye, who's a plus 700 underdog. This is insane. I mean, I would bet on this. What do you fucking have to lose, right? What the fuck? Throw a couple bucks on there and probably cash the fuck out if Jessica can pull. If she's as tough as she's, you know, says she is. And she is fucking tough. And since she's gone down to the 125-pound division when the UFC added it, she's been on a phenomenal win streak. And she's had some tough close fights with these girls at 135. But it seems like she hit a different stride once she hit the flyweight division. Now, Jessica, she's 32. She's from Ohio. But right now, she's training out in Vegas about 8 to 10 months ago. Mainly training out of the UFC PI Center. And she just seems to hit a whole new level of confidence going down to this flyweight division. She beat Kaitlyn Chookagan by split decision her last fight. She beat Jessica Rose Clark, and she beat Kalindra Faria. And before that, she lost 4 in a row at bantamweight to Betch Carrera, split decision, Sarah McMahon decision, Juliana Pena decision, and Misha Tate, former world champion, by decision. And before that, she beat Leslie Smith via doctor stoppage. She split her ear open. Valentina Shevchenko, the only girl she's ever lost to has been Amanda Nunes twice. And you can make an argument that she could have possibly got one of those knots. And she could probably be a bantamweight champion right now. But she went down to the 125-pound division. She fought for the belt. She won it. And she beat Joanna Jędrzejczyk. Her last fight, she beat Priscilla Cochera, finished her in the second round via rear naked choke. And before that, she lost to Amanda Nunes by split decision. And fights before that, she beat Juliana Pena, who Jessica Eye lost to. She beat Holly Holm, former world champion, by decision. And before that, she lost to Amanda Nunes. And before that, she beat Sarah Kaufman by decision. So that was the one close fight that she really had, was Sarah Kaufman. The other ones, it seems like she's just been on a whole new level after that split decision win. And she lost to Amanda Nunes, came back with a vengeance. Came up short again against Amanda, but they're like this. There's any given moment, any given Sunday, any one of those girls can win that fight. This is a tough fight, man. She's the Kyrgyzstan native. She went there. She had a crazy standing ovation when she went. And I'm really looking forward to this fight. Again, she is minus 1,200 favorite. Jessica I is a plus 700 underdog. Big odds. Now, this is a pick'em fight, the main event. Number four, Henry Cejudo, who is a minus 105, 14-2 record, taking on the 22-5-1. 22, 5 losses, 1 no contest slash draw. The minus 125, Marlon Moraes, who's the number one ranked fighter in the division since TJ has to vacate his belt for EPO usage. Marlon Moraes is on a 4-fight win streak. He beat Assun Sal via guillotine choke in round one. Jimmy Rivera head kicking them punches in round one. He beat myself round one via knee. And round one, he beat John Dodson via split decision. And he beat lost to Rafael Assun Sal in his UFC debut via split decision. Before that, he won a few fights in World Series of Fighting. I think he rattled off like 8 wins. And that put him in prime position to get the call to the UFC. And here he is today. One punch man. Magic Marlon Moraes doing his thing and doing really, really well. Really looking forward to this fight. Tough fight. I really don't know what to say, man. I don't know how Marlon possesses the power, but Cejudo has some good power. Marlon possesses the size. Cejudo's a little bit smaller, but I think being at flyweight and coming up and bulking up a little bit, I think he's going to be faster. I think he's going to have the speed advantage because he's a smaller guy. He's going to be able to have those fast, quick twitch muscles. He's also an Olympic champion. Did you know he had a fucking gold medal? And did you know he had a fucking UFC gold belt? Oh, my God. This is crazy. Ah, Henry Cejudo. He is like the next coming of Christ or something. I broke his balls a little bit yesterday when I saw him in the workout room and got back and I checked my weight. That's on the vlog, actually. You guys could go check that out on my YouTube channel, Funkmaster MMA. Cejudo, strong, explosive wrestler, utilizes his wrestling pretty well in all his fights. He beat TJ Dillashaw, finished him in the first round, 32 seconds in, shoved TJ over. So there's got to be some type of power in that little body, right? I mean, to push him over like that and then come back and clip him, caught him with like the tail end of his foot on a head kick, it seemed like it stunned TJ a little bit, then the right hand behind the ear, and that was the beginning of the end. He swarmed him, did not let him off the hook once he smelled blood. Before that, he won a split decision over arguably the greatest of all time, probably in my opinion, the greatest of all time, in Demetrius Johnson. Most title defenses and most dominant fights in history, in my opinion, and for what he's able to do. He beat Sergio Pettis before that, and he knocked out Wilson Hayes 25 seconds into round two. Before that, he lost to Joe Benavidez by split decision, and he lost to Demetrius Johnson via knees and punches in round one. So Henry looks like he's been hitting stride. Like I said, he's great wrestling, Olympic champ. Marlon is going to have a tough time competing with him in that department. But I can see the size of Marlon being a problem with Henry trying to get him down. He's going to have to be a little slick with using inside leg trips, foot sweeps to get the leg up of Marlon and to get him down on the ground. And I think once he gets on top, he's going to be able to utilize some heavy wrestling pressure and maybe neutralize some of that BJJ of Marlon Moraes. I know Marlon likes to use the butterfly, I think, whenever he does hit the mat. I just assume that's what those guys do over there, just being that he's from the Ricardo Almeida camp, and I know some of those guys in the grappling styles. Very intriguing fight, and actually, I cannot wait to see it. Now, I'm not going to go too in-depth because I really don't pick fighters and winners. My fight with Pedro Munhoz, big fight. Now, my breakdown and analysis of Pedro, tough dude. No one can ever take that away from him. Super granite chin. That motherfucker is coming with the fucking, I don't know, the crimson chin. But the one thing about me and him is I don't normally get hit in fights. He does. He welcomes it. He utilizes really, really good calf kicks. Does a good job of timing guys. If he can't get inside with his hands, he'll step in, he'll shell up, and he'll chop down those legs. Super smart dude. And he has that patented guillotine choke down. Now, the one person who was able to escape the grasp of that was Brett Johns, a guy who I also beat, who was a tough grappler. But I shut him down in the grappling department. I also beat him in the grappling department. And I like my odds, you know. I don't really get kicked. Jimmy Rivera is a big kicker. I just fought him. I'm coming off a big win off of him. And he wasn't able to really do much damage with his leg kicks. And the one time he landed a kick and it was a free one. And I was like, oh, shit, I forgot that he does this. And then he kicked me again and I kicked him at the same time. We both just sat there and just clashed our shins. And we realized, I think we both realized, like, all right, this might suck if we both just keep banging our shins against each other. And I don't know if there was like some type of agreement there that we both stopped kicking the legs afterwards, but it hurt. And that's what I'm looking to do against Pedro, you know, kick him if he kicks me and kick him when he's not kicking me. Keep that kicking range. And when I can get inside, when he gets over aggressive, put that motherfucker on his ass. And from there, we look to pass his guard, take his back, and if we can get the strangle, we're going to strangle that motherfucker. That's the game plan. I mean, it's no secret that I'm looking to get the fight down to the ground. That's where I shine the best. It's not like I can't strike. I can strike, but path of least resistance, where I think I'll be in the least amount of trouble. Pedro's got little short arms. If he gets his arms around my neck, that's a problem. So I've been working a lot of stuff with a lot of guys, shooting on entry and working different types of finishes and looking for ways to pass outside of that guillotine choke and making sure we don't give him any opportunity to really lock his hands and get off on what he's trying to do. You know, we stood next to each other, kind of walked past each other, and I said, "What's up, man?" And, you know, he kind of didn't want to say anything. I guess he was a little uncomfortable, like, didn't know if, like, should I make a scene? Should I not make a scene? I said all this bad shit about him. Now, I don't know if this is really me. Should I be polite or should I not? And he was like, "What's up, man?" I was like, all right. So I guess I don't know if it's real or not. You know, I don't know. But whatever. I don't give a shit, man. I think all the trash talk, it builds the fight a little bit more. It gets the fans into it. And I love when the fans are into it, because they're going to be glued to their seats and they're going to want to watch. And what's better than that? When you have people that want to watch and tune in, that eventually equates to dollar signs. It's not like you have the same contract and you guys talk a whole lot of shit and everyone's watching your fight. You're still in the same contract, buddy. So you're not getting paid anything different. That's my take. I can't wait for the fight. I'm super excited. There's not really any last minute things that I want to talk about. I'm pretty much just trying to get my weight off. This morning I woke up 44.8. So we're in a good spot on a Tuesday. Gonna work out again tonight. I had a good amount of water today. And chill, relax. I just had a little bit of a meal. I'm gonna get worked on. I gotta finish up my media run. I'm running late right now for my MMA junkie spot, but I think we're pretty much done, wrapped up. We're feeling good. I got my boys, Ally, Quinta, and Marab here with me. We're rocking and rolling. And this is a lot for me to do on fight week, you know, but I was able to play Smash Brothers yesterday with Curtis Blaze and a few other cool guys, Barstool Eddie and White Sox Dave from Barstools, really cool guys from Barstool Chicago. And they were fun dudes, really cool people to hang out and chill with. And took the edge off, man, actually being able to play some video games and relax and not have to think about the fight. I actually forgot I was fucking fighting. That's how crazy it was that I was so into the game and I forgot I was cutting weight. And then when I had to leave, I looked at the time. I was like, I got to go get a workout in. And that's when it like kicked back in mentally. I was like, all right. But then the day was pretty much over. So I was able to work out, check my weight, put a little bit, shower up, put a little bit back in me, and just go right. Well, I didn't go right to sleep. I had to edit the vlog. I finished editing the vlog, and then I took my ass home to bed at like 2 o'clock in the morning. It's hard for me to sleep. I took a nap early in the day, so sometimes it's hard to sleep. Hopefully tonight we could get a little bit more rest, like get into bed earlier. That would be ideal. I'm aiming for 12 o'clock. That would be so, so beautiful if I could do that. And I don't know about you guys, but my freaking bowels are moving and I can feel it. I feel like the all the kale and spinach and mixed greens that I was eating is finally starting to digest and run through me. So I'm going to have to go make a pit stop. But remember, guys, if you like my shit, subscribe to my shit, or spinning back fist. Bow! Thank you guys for tuning in. And make sure you tune in June 8th, UFC 238, Chicago, Illinois. We're coming. Let's do this, man. Let's fucking make history. Thank you guys for rocking with me. Thank you guys for supporting me. AljamainStern.com. Go support your boy. Tell a friend to tell a friend. We out.